Okay, so we're talking about the process of itself. Okay, so the Rosh was that and I found this in the Rokeach. I think the Rokeach may even be before the Rosh, is that Sfiras HaOmer must be inside its standing. Question is, where? Why does it say that? So there's one interesting point is that there is a custom that whenever performing a mitzvah, according to some only Torah mitzvahs, according to others even rabbinic mitzvahs, you have to be standing. Unless the mitzvah itself is sitting, like sitting in the sukkah. Shema is different because it says, say it while you're sitting. So the whole davening behaves like that, unless it's a part of the davening, because the whole davening is standing, then what's the point of having standing? You know, if you stand for Shema Nesra because you're sitting beforehand. But that's a good question. But some have the custom, for instance, when you bring in Shabbos, at the time you bring in Shabbos, to be standing. Right? That's why when you say Lechadodi at the end, you stand up and turn around and you look at the door and you say, come on in Shabbos. It's the Shabbos queen. So we want to be standing. So that the dafka, some people sit for the chadodi, the beginning, the first eight, so it makes an impression when you stand. Standing for the whole thing, what's the manifestation of it that can be obviously denoted that you're bringing in Shabbos by standing? You want to be seated so that getting up, standing makes a statement. Some say that the thing that accepts Shabbos is Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, what you say after Lechadodi. So, okay, I always stand for that. I always make sure to stand for that. So that's there is a mitzvah to usher in Shabbos, to welcome Shabbos, to announce Shabbos. Horus Yom HaShabbos, remember Shabbos. So when you do that, you should be standing. Okay. There are some readings of the Torah that are considered Torah laws. One most hold, another one the Shulchan Aruch suggests, may take some explanation, but the reading of the Torah before Purim, called Shah Parsha Zachor, and some say Parshas Parah, the reading of the gold, the red heifer that brings us purity, but the rest of the year, all Torah readings are rabbinic. Those are rabbinic law. So except Amalek, and possibly Parshas Parah. So I know my minog here, I don't establish it as the shul minog because you might have someone who's tired and can't stand for the whole thing. But my minog is to stand for any Torah reading that's a Torah law, which is Parshas Zohar and Parshas, and according to some, Parshas Parah. Right? But whatever that is, when you perform in time, so when from the mitzvah, it should be in a standing position.
Is there a Shevarim? The Ten Commandments?
So that's an interesting thing. The Rambam has a tshuva regarding standing for Aseres HaDibros. Which I like to call the Decalogue, not the Ten Commandments. There are more than Ten Commandments in the Decalogue. Aseres HaDibros means the 10 statements. Because standing for Aseres HaDibros implies that this reading is more important than any other reading. No, any one letter that's taken out of the Torah makes the Torah puzzle. No one part of the Torah that's more important than any other. So on that, some say it's better to sit. If you're going to sit the rest of the year, then sit for this too. Some people have the custom to stand for the entire Torah reading, the whole year. Because of standing for Aseres HaDibros. Because they don't want to not keep the minhag of standing for Aseres HaDibros. With other places, do I know that that's sort of the minhag here, but I don't know if this fits the reason mind of the people, is that usually you give that aliyah to the rabbi of the shul.
Okay.
So they're not standing for this lady, they're standing for the rabbi.
Right.
Doesn't explain why they don't stand when the rabbi gets other aliyahs, but okay. Okay. So, but here's a very interesting thing. The Rosh says, it's not Pshat. The Rosh explains that Sfiras HaOmer is the, what we call a Binyan Av. It creates the setting whereby a mitzvah has to be done while standing, and that's what teaches us all the other mitzvahs, that when we do it, we should stand.
This one teaches
for the others. It's called the Binyan Av. It's a marker. It sets the standard. What is it? Look at source number 40, page 385. Do you have it there?
Obviously.
Okay, so this is the Rosh. Right? The Rosh was the father of the Torah. And the Rosh writes, he says, Mevorchin me'umad. We should be standing when we make the bracha. The Tanya Rabbanan, Bakama tochel lispor. Mehechel chermesh bakama tochel lispor. It says, when your sickle touches the new grain, then you start counting the Omer.
Okay.
So it says, Al tikre bakama ela bakama.
So it has to be offered on the same day.
Yes, yes. But here's what the Rosh is saying. It's a pun.
Okay.
It's a pun.
Oh, okay.
It says koma means standing grain.
So koma
means to stand. So he says, the mitzvah is to cut standing grain, so we should be standing when we recite it. Big chiddush. And then the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, look at 41. B'tzarech lispor ma'umad.
When was the Rosh? What years was it?
Rosh was in the 14th century.
Okay,
so we know you should stand not only for the bracha, but also for the counting. But here, let's press the envelope. What happens if someone did not count it sitting down? Does he have to count again? What do you think?
I would think he doesn't have to count.
You were right.
Yes.
You were right. It's a nice, what we call a chatchila, it's a nice standard to... to apply and say that we want to show respect by standing, but it's not a game breaker. It's not. But if you were sitting down, you count the Omer, you're also okay. Okay, and that's the Pesach of the Mishnah Berurah. 42. B'di'evet afilu im siper miyushav yotza. But after the fact, even if one counted while sitting, he fulfills his obligation. What about the Shem Yichud? You ever see that? It's for the sake of unifying God with His Shemina, I'm going to recite this mitzvah for this blessing.
Okay.
So there is a custom to say these words before any mitzvah. On the assumption of the following. Every time we perform a mitzvah, we are getting ourselves closer to the redemption. Every mitzvah gets us closer to the redemption. So on the assumption that with our exile, God also went into exile, so to say, there's no temple for his name's sake. And so that God is kibayochol also in exile. He's also in Golos.
Didn't they actually see the Shekinah leave?
Yes, yeah, there's a Gemara that says that. And that it's based on Tzukim, when Yaakov went to Egypt, God said, I'm going down with you to Egypt and I'll help you come back. As if God was also in Galus. So there are some objections to saying this prayer. The reason for the prayer is to assure that we have the right frame of mind about doing the mitzvah we're about to do. But it starts with something called the Shem Yichud Kutsha Brichu Ushchinte, which may seem somewhat heretical. For the sake of unifying God with his Shekhinah? How can God be separated from anything? Right? In other words, if these two things were originally united and separated, it means that each one exists as an entity separate from the other. How can we say that about God? God is all existence. Nothing can be separated from God. Okay, but the point of saying it was to make sure that we had the right frame of mind, right? We call Kavanah. In the Muchan and the Zuma and the Kayim, I'm ready and just ready to go in order to fulfill this mitzvah. So some have the objection of saying, because it says, "Kayim is mitzvah sasei shel sfiras ha'omer," ready to fulfill the positive injunction, positive commandment of sfiras ha'omer. But we paskin that today the sfiras ha'omer is rabbinic.
Right.
But the main that it's written in the Torah, I mean, just that circumstance has made it so that it's rabbonim today. Essential mitzvahs from the Torah. So those are the two opinions, number 43 and 44, are represented by what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
43 is the objection to saying this because it's like an interruption.
Is 44. Between the blessing and the saying?
No, before the blessing.
So why is it interruption?
You say this before there. So there are two the objection is that the Hindi Mukhan mentions this as if though it's a Torah law, but it's not. It's rabbinic law. And we know that calling a rabbinic law a Torah law violates the Torah.
Kind of like when Eve touching is
written. It's kind of, it's exactly like, right, by saying, God told me not to. She made the fence around the Torah to be the Torah itself, which is not a good thing. So the example the Rambam gives is that if you say that a chicken with milk is prohibited by the Torah, you have violated the Torah. It's only beef with only goat, sheep, and cow. Right? So to say that chicken with milk is a violation of the Torah is itself a violation. You'll end up making other averus if you consider it rabbanan to be a d'oraisa. But it's what's important to know standards.
Wild game, you're not supposed to mix.
Wild game, meaning like deer, gazelle, moose, are all permitted to cook in milk and permitted to derive benefit with milk, even l'chatchila. But we say that you should not. But if you did eat venison with milk, you would be violating the drabbon. You don't like to violate drabbons either.
No.
The doraisa violation is to melt cheese on top of a boiling hot hamburger. You melting the cheese, it starts off as a total violation. Drabbon would be eating a bologna and cheese sandwich, cold cuts.
It's the Torah doesn't want you to eat that. Chicken?
No. Torah's law is goat, sheep, cow meat, milk, or goat, sheep, and cow milk with one of the other meat.
Mm-hmm.
But if you mix either one, fowl doesn't have milk, but if you mix either one with fowl or game, it's rabbinic. Okay? All right, so now counting days and weeks, we discussed this once before, so I'm going to skip that. Let's go to page 389. This is counting sphira by mistake. So you're familiar with this, that you shouldn't tell what night it is, because if you did the mitzvah, fulfilled the mitzvah after plaga mincha, where you could, then you've already done the mitzvah, so you can't make a bracha now when you count later.
Mm-hmm.
Two caveats of this. So, but here are some very simple pieces of advice. For instance, if you wanted to know, what are we counting tonight? I don't have to say last night we counted 41. Why? I can say tonight we're going to count 42.
Because it's not the time.
It's not the time yet. I can say well, I want. If I'm not fulfilling it at any point the mitzvah, saying that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Right. Plus, if someone says, what night is tonight? And I just say, 42.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I can still count with a bracha. Because just saying the number 42 isn't enough to fulfill your obligation. Same is true about Kabbalah Shabbos, I think we might have mentioned before, is that when, Friday afternoon, if it's already possible time to make Shabbos, which is after Plaga Mincha, which is about 6:49. So if you say Good Shabbos at 10 to 7 this coming Friday before you dive into Mincha, is a Haber meaning that maybe you can't dive in Mincha anymore because you already accepted Shabbos. This is not a problem the rest of the week because there's no such thing as a Kabbalah's Wednesday or Kabbalah's Thursday. And that wouldn't stop me from davening the day before anyway. But when I must accept Shabbos, that means I left whole behind. I can't daven it anymore.
Bit of a chiddush.
It's a bit of a chiddush, yeah, of course. If you're davening early, if you're davening mincha early, you know, you're davening early, you come to shul, you know, or the earlier the minion is leaving and you're coming and you say good Shabbos to people. So, you know, be careful. So the caveat word in number 49. So he says, if you ask a friend what night it is, a person shouldn't answer by reciting a night. If you look at the bottom on page 389, there's the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham, who explains that although we generally hold that mitzvot do require intent in regard to reciting a bracha, the other person is taken into consideration. I mean, top of page 390 is just that the thing you shouldn't say at a time where you could count is what would fulfill the count. You don't have to worry about saying just a number. The number wouldn't fulfill your obligation anyway. So why do we have to say Hayom Yom? Just say, you just said 42 to the Omer. That's not enough. Which means that if someone asks you, what night are we counting tonight? And it's already nighttime. You can just say a number.
Mm-hmm.
You can just say 49. Even you can even say 42 to the Omer. You shouldn't say today is 42.
Was this formula from the beginning of Torah, or this was a formula?
They it'd have to be introduced by the rabbis, but it's whether it's a tradition. Well, there are two things you can do. You can say last night we counted, and then the person will know tonight is one day later. Or at least you could do any mitzvah. Say to the friend, tonight we're going to count 34 of the Omer. And while you're saying it, you have in your mind, I'm not fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads us to an amazing chiddush. Let's say you're in a minyan that's finishing, you know, pretty early. And you're makbid to count later. But you're very worried that if you don't count together with everybody else, you may actually forget later.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what you can do. You can say, I am counting now with the shul. And if I don't remember later to count, this is my counting. If I do remember later the count, then this is.
Oh, okay, I like that.
Don't say a bracha, of course, but just do the counting. Don't say the bracha. I want to say the bracha later at a better time. And it's certainly dark. Say when it's still light out, it's still light outside. You say, listen, I'm worried I may forget later. So now the counting, let me join them. And if I don't remember later, then this is my mitzvah. I will not have missed a day. But if I do remember the count later, I want to count with a bracha, and I will. That kind of stuff works. It's a bit of a chiddush, but okay. So on the night of Lag BaOmer, it's not enough to just say tonight is Lag BaOmer. That's not going to be good. Is Lag just Lag BaOmer? What is Lag? Lag is Lamed Gimel, 33.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, the Gematria, 33. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, okay, in other words, so saying the words, today is Lag BaOmer, right, is not enough to fulfill your obligation. And if that's all you said, right, then you missed the day. Yeah.
Other than counting the traditional way for the 33rd, are you supposed to acknowledge Lag BaOmer separately?
That's what we call it. It's just an easier way to call it. You know,
I understand.
Where are you going for your 33rd day of the Omer trip? You know, it's Lag BaOmer. You know,
it's not in the prayers. You don't have to say anything.
No. You have to say Shalosh Shloshim Yom.
Is there any acknowledgement of the on the 49th day? That it's the 49th day,
mm-hmm.
rather than. Before the 50th thing? Is there anything that's...
No.
Nothing at all.
Okay. Charlie, okay.
Tired?
Yeah, I've been getting homesick at 11 every night. Maybe we'll just finish off the last source in 392.
Beautiful.
And he says, is tonight the 42nd? And I just say, yes, it is. That's also okay, because remember the rule. Don't respond in a way you can fulfill the obligation at the right time, if it's the right time. Anything short of that, yeah, today is Lag BaOmer. That's not good, because you can't say Lag BaOmer and fulfill your obligation. Right? And just, or just say the number. All right. Okay, Charlie, thank you. You're